few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. The armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who, the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
We want to honor you this morning. If you are a veteran, if you've ever served in the military this morning, if you would stand up just for a moment, just so that we can honor you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. I know if you're anything like me, it always get a little uneasy, a little uncomfortable when someone asks me to do that. But in the words of another famous American, as long as we keep your memory and your honor alive, that will never die. And so we thank you for your service. We thank you for that today. Like I said, just the very fact that we get to gather here today to worship is a testament to what countless men and women have done over the last 200 plus years since the founding of this country. One of the things, since Alex and I moved, I get to work by a lot of different means now, as far as the commute's concerned. But unless I have class in the evening, most days I ride the bus to work. And it's been quite enjoyable, actually. because for the first time since I've been in seminary and school, I've gotten a chance to read something other than school books. And unless I've got a test or something, and I'll read school books on the bus. But I've gotten to catch up on a list of books that I'd gotten behind on that I just said, well, when school's done, I'm going to read these books. Most of what I read is historical books, rather. And been in the process of reading one about the Revolutionary War. And some of the things that you don't hear and see, and you look at that and you see just how close we came to not being a country at all. And then you look down through the years, over the last 200 years, and the conflicts that we've been in, how close it's been at times to the freedoms that we enjoy being taken away. This morning there's a poem that says this: "It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us the freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to protest. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag." That was written in 1970, and I think it's just as true today as it was in 1970 when it was written. The freedoms that we have, and like I said, while we many times I think take them for granted, we don't want to do that this morning, and I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to honor those this morning who have made that sacrifice, who, as one said, signed their name to a blank check payable to this country up to and including the amount of their life. When you take that oath of office or that oath of enlistment, you swear to defend this country with your life, if necessary. And so that's something that it's hard to grasp at times, and something that especially those who have served during time of war, is something that just really hits home, especially when you see those flag-draped coffins coming back. So we thank you, we honor you this morning. Time is quickly running out, so I'm not going to keep you very long this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, I'll start in verse 24. It said, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with hands, only a model of the true one, but into heaven itself, so that he might now appear in the presence of God for us. He did not do this to offer himself many times, as the high priest enters the sanctuary yearly with blood of another. Otherwise, he would have had to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now he's appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as is appointed for people to die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for an opportunity to be in your house this morning. I pray in the next couple minutes, as we just take a brief time to look into your word, I pray that you would bless this time, and we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Like I said, Veterans Day, celebrating and observing tomorrow, November 11th, as was said in that speech, it's the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. That was originally the armistice, the cease fighting of the war to end all wars, World War I. They thought that because the war had been so great, had been so terrible with the loss, that surely the people in this world would look around and say, we don't want to do that anymore. We will never have another war. When you consider the sacrifices, there were over 9 million dead, over 21 million wounded. Germany, Russia, France, and Great Britain alone each lost around 1 million soldiers each. The United States lost around 116,000. which when you compare it to the others doesn't sound like a lot, but when you compare it to Vietnam, which lasted much longer, it's almost twice the number of people that we lost in Vietnam. It's a lot of sacrifice. And so you can see why those who fought in this battle and the leaders at the time called this the war to end all wars, the Great War, because surely after we've seen all of this carnage, there will never be another desire to wage war again. Obviously, a couple of decades later, that was not the case. All wars create a lot of sacrifice. Today we honor our veterans because of that sacrifice. Like I said, November 11th, 1918 became known as Armistice Day. It became a federal holiday in the United States in 1938. And later, in the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War, the name was changed to Veterans Day. I'd like to tell you the story real quick. I don't know if any of you have seen this movie, but there's a movie that came out, I think, last year, if not the year before last, about a gentleman from just down the road a little ways in right outside of Lynchburg, Virginia. He's a gentleman who grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist and grew up in a family where they taught that fighting and war was wrong, and so he was a conscientious objector. He thought that his religious beliefs told him that he was not permitted to fight. His father, before him, had fought in World War I, had seen out of the ones who left from his small town, he was the only one who came back. And so, of course, PTSD and things like that were not really diagnosed like they are now. They would just say, oh, he's shell-shocked, he's this, he's that. He's seen too much. And so he grew up in a home that was broken. He saw his father many times abusing his mother and abusing him when he would try to step in. And so a couple of decades later, the war to end all wars, they quickly figured out this didn't actually work. It didn't end all wars because one that was even bigger than what they had observed at that point was coming. World War II broke out. And without telling his parents, he enlisted in the army. Like I said, he was a conscientious objector. So he enlisted as a combat medic, knowing that he wouldn't even be able to pick up a rifle. And so he talked to the recruiter there and said, hey, this is what I believe. I can't pick up a rifle. I can't fight, but I want to do my part. And so recruiters being recruiters, some things never change. He said, oh, yeah, sure, you can do that. Come on in. The movie, if you've seen it, is called Hacksaw Ridge. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for, gory? It's a little intense. And it has been described as one of the greatest war movies since Saving Private Ryan, which was also equally as intense. So I'm not going to stand here and tell you to go out and see it, but if that type of thing doesn't bother you, then I would encourage you to see it, or at least encourage you to pick up a book about this gentleman named Desmond Doss. Because he went through basic training, and the movie portrays this very well, and just about all of it is true. There's a couple things that they took liberties with, but went through basic training, and of course he shows up at basic training, and the drill sergeants are there, and they get there, and they hand him a rifle, and they say, okay, we're going to the range today. We're going to, you know, qualify on these M1 rifles, and he says, oh, no. I can't even touch that rifle. I'm a conscientious objector. And of course they all laugh and they say, oh, well, you enlisted in the army. Why would you can't be here if you're not going to do this. And so, long story short, they tried to have him dishonorably discharged because they just thought he was a coward. All those who were there with him would call him a coward. They made fun of him. They would throw things at him. They would beat him up, constantly torturing him and tormenting him just to get him to quit. Because if he quit, they said, you can go home, fine, nothing will be said. But if you stick around and you don't do this, you're disobeying orders and you will be dishonorably discharged, if not serve time. He didn't do it. He was brought before the judge advocate generals there to be discharged. And in the movie, they portray this very well. His dad shows up in a uniform from World War I. He sits down in the courtroom after they finally let him in, and he had served with the very ones who were trying his son. And they saw his uniform, and they saw that they recognized the service and the sacrifice that he had made and the acts of heroism that he had done in that great war. So they decided to give Desmond a chance. They let him complete training and go on to fight. Shortly thereafter, in the spring of 1945, Desmond Doss and his unit were shipped to Okinawa. And they were facing a grueling task. There was a ridge, a hill called Hacksaw Ridge. The Japanese forces had set up defenses along this ridge, bunkers and tunnels running underneath, to where when you looked at it and flew over it, you couldn't even see them, but yet the machine gun nests and all of the things were entrenched in this volcanic ash of this place. And to get there, if... Yeah, thank you. And absolutely, yeah. We lost thousands in Okinawa and all throughout the Pacific. And this particular ridge, to get to it, it was a sheer rock cliff. And they had thrown, if you've seen the movies and the pictures and things like this, when they throw a rope ladder over the side of a boat with just the, and it's wobbling all over the place. They'd thrown one of these over this ridge, and one by one they would have to climb up this ridge to sudden and sure, almost suicide, because they were climbing up this ridge knowing what was waiting for them on top of this ridge, fighting like almost had never been seen before. And as they would advance, the Japanese would come out and they would rush out of these tunnels and all of these things that they would call, that became to be known as rat holes under the ground, and they would rush out and they would attack and they would kill and they would throw mortars, and we lost thousands of young men. Eventually, it began to be realized that this was a fight that was going to be lost. The order was given to retreat, and quickly, much more quicker than what they had gotten up there, they went back over this cliff, and Desmond Doss was there as a combat medic, and he began to look around, and his main job, he didn't carry a rifle, he didn't carry any grenades, he didn't carry even a bayonet on his equipment. Just carried a medical bag. He began to look around and see all of the wounded and the dying that were being left behind. All the other medics had either been killed or were retreating with the rest of the troops. He began to look down and he saw one man, and he carried him back to this ridge, back to this ladder, and lowered him over. And then they said, "Okay, now come on down." He's like, no. I'm going to get just one more. Just one more. Went back and got another person and brought him back and lowered him down. And he said, and they said, "Okay, come on. Time is running out." And he said, "No, I'm going to get just one more." Time and time and time again, he was going and gathering the wounded. Time and time again, he would come back and they would urge him, "Desmond, you're going to get killed. You're going to get us killed. It's time to leave." And he said, "No, I'm going to get just one more." Eventually, when he would come back, there was no one left. They had left him on the mountain because they said, "It's a hopeless case. He's gone. He's as good as lost." So he tied a rope and fashioned some knots and buckled himself against a tree stump there and lowered one by one the wounded and the dying. And every time he would lower one, he would go back and grab someone else and bring them back, and he would say, "I'm going to get just one more," and all the while praying, "God, just give me one more. Just give me one more." By the time the smoke had cleared, some of the reinforcements were arriving, and they were seeing this body being lowered on a rope. They didn't know what was going on. They thought it might have been a trap. And then they happened to look and they say, "No, there's a man on the top and he looks like one of ours." Desmond Doss that day saved 75 wounded soldiers on Hacksaw Ridge. The soldiers who had once shamed him, the soldiers who had once made fun of him because he wouldn't even touch a rifle, praised him. His captain described him as one of the bravest persons alive. President Harry Truman would later award Doss the Congressional Medal of Honor. A first because he was a noncombatant, a conscientious objector, and yet he was awarded the highest honor that a member of the military can be awarded, because not because he had killed a lot of people or because he had done some great thing with some weapon, but because he had simply prayed, "Give me one more." And he had saved 75. His story is just one of countless stories that we could tell this morning of veterans who sacrificed so much. Veterans that if we would go around this room this morning and we would ask for stories, I'm sure there are countless stories even here of either just as we've already even heard. Stories of loss, stories of sacrifice, stories of not just veterans that sacrificed, but as a family, a Gold Star family myself, the families and the spouses that sacrificed as well. And so, service is a little different this morning. That's not what we usually do. But I thought it fitting and appropriate that we do it this morning, especially with those who are here today, those from our congregation, those that we've even lost in just the last few years that made that sacrifice, that made that decision to serve their country. As great as those sacrifices are, there's a sacrifice that was even greater, a sacrifice that we read about in Hebrews this morning, far greater than any sacrifice that we could ever imagine, and that was Jesus Christ. When Jesus made his sacrifice, he appeared once and for all at the end of the age, as those verses said, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Through his death on the cross, Jesus bore, as those verses said, the sins of many, and the result is that we are restored to a right relationship with God. No greater sacrifice, no matter what accounts and stories of heroism and bravery you could tell this morning, as great as those are, and as much as we honor those this morning, that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ is so much greater. It's my prayer this morning that as you leave here, you keep that story of Desmond Doss in your mind and in your heart. As you're going around, we are engaged, as the Bible says, in a conflict. It's a conflict not against flesh and blood, as those verses say. It's a conflict not against mankind or a human being, but it's a conflict against the rulers of the darkness of this world, as those verses say. Evil is all around us. Evil is, it seems to be on the rise all around us. So many things. You turn on the news, you see stories of evil, of loss, of people doing unimaginable acts of darkness and evil. We are engaged in a conflict. Whether you have ever fought in a war or not, physically, if you are a child of God this morning, you are engaged in a war far greater than any that has ever existed. And that is a war against Satan and his armies. But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here today, we're on the winning side. During the darkest days of World War II, there are stories about a gentleman by the name of Winston Churchill. I've always been a fan of Winston Churchill. He, as a person, character-wise, probably not the best example to follow if you've ever read anything about him. He was a drunk. He was a womanizer. He was so many other things. And yet, many believe if it hadn't been for Winston Churchill, England, and as a result, England's allies, probably would have lost World War II. We probably would not be speaking English today, or if it would be, there would be a lot of differences. There's some shows out about what would have happened had World War II been lost. But Winston Churchill would say the words, in the midst of the darkest hours in England's times, when bombs were literally exploding all around them, when they didn't know if they were going to wake up in the morning because they didn't know if the bombers were going to fly over and bomb them in the middle of the night, he would say, "Never, never, never give up." No matter how dark this world may get, no matter how evil it may look all around you, no matter how many burdens and trials come along your way, all the little battles that we fight in, all the little skirmishes along the way, the war is already won. If you've read the back of the book, as they say, you know the end of the story. There's no spoiler alerts to it. You already know what's going to happen. You already know that your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ himself, has already won the victory. If you don't know him this morning, if you haven't made that decision to join his army this morning, I encourage you to do that before you leave here today, to enlist in the army of the Lord. And if you have, I encourage you as you leave here today that your prayer is, Lord, give me one more. Just as Desmond Doss was running through the machine gun fire and the bombs and the mortar shells and the explosions and the blood and the death all around him to drag one more of his wounded brothers in arms to safety. We're rushing to and fro against the evil of this world, the fiery darts of the devil, as the Bible says. Believe me, Satan wants nothing more than for us to live a defeated life. He knows he's already lost. But if you have an attitude of defeat and loss, then he's gained the upper victory on you. It's our prayer this morning that you leave here saying, Lord, just give me one more soul for you. One more soul wounded by this wicked world, rescued for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of those who have gone before us, those who have, in many instances, paid the ultimate sacrifice with their own lives to give us the freedom, Father, simply just to serve you openly, to serve you freely, to come before you today in this place, to gather together, to sing praises to your name, to simply mention your name, to simply carry a Bible. Those freedoms and privileges were won with the shed blood of the men and women who have gone before us and fought in those wars and conflicts. We thank you for their sacrifice. Those that are here still with us who have made that sacrifice and served their country, we thank you for them. We honor them this morning. I think, as one president said, it is altogether and fitting and proper that we do this. For it is them that we can thank for that freedom. But more importantly, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of your shed blood on Calvary, giving us eternal life and a home eternal in heaven. I pray, Father, as we leave here this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would seek you before it's too late. If there's one here that simply has gotten, that's simply fallen by the wayside, they've allowed the darkness to creep in, they've allowed Satan to steal their joy, I pray this morning that they would look to you, the source and greatest piece of joy and hope that we could ever have. I pray that you would help us, just like the story of this one soldier, that as we leave here, we seek to gain just one more soul. One more soul. One into the kingdom for you. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think there's any more announcements.